something is changing.
Thank you.
Je veux te laisser nous. Dans ce monde. Who's not out there?
Father, I. Father, I'd love to know you. Take me in your love.
About what it's saying, and let it be the cry of your heart, the desire of your heart. Listen, Christianity is about knowing God intimately through Jesus. It's not just about what we believe. That's a part of it. It's not about things we do, but we got to know Him, and that's what it's about. And that has to be a longing in your heart.
I will worship.
to know you, we long to hear your voice, we long to be close to you, Lord, we long to be filled and totally yielded to the Holy Spirit, hearing what you're saying and doing what you want us to do, speaking what you want us to speak, Lord. Father, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you've done for us. God, that you came and took on human flesh. You came and you died on that cross for our sins to break the power of Satan and his forces off of our lives to give us a chance to know you, to walk with you again, to hear your voice, to be reconciled to our Creator, and have eternal life with you forever. That's your desire. That's what you provided through the blood of your cross. That's what you provided through your resurrection. That's what you provided in your word, the truth, the message, that you want to be with us and you want us to be with you. That's what it's about. Help us to get that. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Patrick, the Lord, for some reason, don't know why he wanted me to tell you this there toward the end of your worship, but he wanted me to tell you this, that you haven't even scratched the surface yet of what he has for you. Not even scratched the surface of what he has for you to do, what he's called you to do, the people he has for you to reach, the things that he has for you to flow in and to operate in. You ain't even scratched the surface. But it's there for you. And I just feel and say, you got to go deeper. And it'll happen. Amen? And that part of it was very strong. Go deeper. Amen. Okay. Yeah. We got the number two mic on here.
All right. Okay. It's just Psalms 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his blessings. He forgives all our iniquities, heals all our diseases, and redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, and satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles."
Psalm 103, that's for somebody there. Maybe for all of us. Amen. I mean, that's the good news. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. What does it say? Forget not all of his benefits there. Who forgives our iniquities, our sins, and heals our diseases. Amen? Praise God. I want everybody to turn to Genesis chapter 3. The Lord completely changed my message during praise and worship. Not even in the same ballpark as it was. I mean, we just went from a baseball game to a football game. That's how different we just went here. Genesis chapter 3, probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. Of course, this is about Adam and Eve and the fall of man to the serpent, to Satan's deception and lies. Let's read this. Verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not touch it, neither shall ye, you shall not eat of it, rather, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. The prophecy of the Messiah coming. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and conception and sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And he said unto Adam, Because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust you will return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I don't normally read an entire chapter like that, but the Lord wanted me to focus in on something this morning. God Almighty, our Creator, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of this creation, the universe, the stars, the planet, this planet, the earth, and mankind, the God who created the angels long ago, many of whom fell, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice he says us there, so we have the revelation of the Trinity within this Elohim, plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this, we have so much here in the book of Genesis. But the whole purpose that God created man and woman, he created mankind, the whole purpose was fellowship. That we might be with him, know him, be loved by him and love him. That we might truly be his children. And those of you know that have had children, you can think you know about it. You can think you know what it feels like. Until they come into this world in front of your eyes. Ain't nothing like it. And I'm talking about normal people. I'm not talking about freaks that have no natural affection. There's some freaks in this world. But I know when my girls were born, my three girls, every single time it was an overwhelming sense of love, of the miraculous of God and how precious life and this little human being that I made that I had part of making that. And that human being, the spirit and the soul and the body, created in the image of God, and God let me have a part of that, and that's part of me right there. And so anybody that's had a child, you kind of get just a small glimpse of how God looks at us. I mean, I believe the moment we're conceived, even before that. I mean, he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Because God knows everything. He knows the past, present, and the future before the future, even before it ever happens. So he knows everything. But we forget, I think, sometimes just the very basic of what we're walking through here. That God's desire for me and you is to know him intimately, to be close to him, to be able to hear his voice, to feel his presence, to know that he is with you and in you, and that you are walking in a plan that he has that is the best plan that there can possibly be for you. See, Adam and Eve had that. They had a perfect place to live. They were sinless. Well, there's no husband and wife that will ever be sinless again. Right? Think about that. The first husband and wife, neither of them had any sin at first. They had perfect unity and perfect fellowship with God, their creator, in a perfect place. They fellowship with God face to face every day. And they talked about, in this passage, I heard your voice in the garden. I hid from your presence. They knew the voice of God, and they knew the presence of God. They obviously, that the voice of God was something that they recognized as distinct from any other part of creation. They also recognized the presence of God as distinct from anything else in creation. Perfection. You know, this is what I believe and what most Bible scholars believe as well about why all of a sudden when they sinned, they knew they were naked. What most Bible scholars say and believe is that they were clothed with the glory of God. Because when we sin, we lose the glory. And when they sin, they lost the glory. I think it's interesting, the Bible talks about a woman's long hair being her glory, but also being a covering for her. So I believe the glory of God in the garden was their clothing. And why am I saying all this? Because, see, when Adam and Eve listened to the lies and the deception of the serpent, of Satan, the fallen angel Hallel, when they listened to him and they disobeyed God, they lost. They lost this glory, this presence, this intimacy. They lost their home. They lost unity in their marriage. They lost the glory and presence of God. Now, let's fast forward for a minute. Mankind sinned. You know, we have in the book of Romans, chapter 3, chapter 5, he talks about what? In Adam, all men died or became spiritually dead, right? He says, but in Christ, all men can come alive, can be made alive, right? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm not trying to get stuck right there. But the point I'm trying to make is that what we lost, the human race, mankind, what we lost in the Garden of Eden
is what Jesus came back when God came in the flesh to redeem man. He came to put all of that back, to fix everything that was lost. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus came, did not sin, came as a man. God came, took on a human body, had to live sinless, which he did, and then pay the penalty that he didn't owe. Amen? Now, I know this may sound basic, but I'm going somewhere with this. So when Jesus died on that cross, it says in Colossians 2 that he made a show of principalities and powers. It says also that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the condemnation of the law of what we lost through sin, right? It says that when Jesus said that, he said, I have the keys. I'm he that was dead and is alive forevermore, Revelation 1, and I have the keys of hell and of death. It says the Son of God, 1 John, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Right? Hear what I'm saying to you today. We're going to get into this further, but just get this in. Jesus sacrificed his blood, sacrificed his death on the cross when he laid down his life. They didn't take it. He laid down his life for the sins of mankind, to break the curse off of mankind, to break the power of the darkness off of mankind, so that mankind could come back and have intimacy with our Creator God again and have the glory of God again and hear his voice again. Anything that does not, any Christianity that does not tell you that Christianity is about knowing God through Jesus Christ, hearing his voice, feeling and experiencing his presence, his power, his glory, is a false, dead Christianity. Because it's everything that Jesus came to restore to us, not just eternal life in heaven, but fellowship, intimacy, glory, power, now, in this present world. And what keeps us from experiencing it consistently, two things. Listening to the lies of the serpent and disobeying God. People tell me all the time, well, I don't hear God. I don't hear from God. Well, I can tell you, you're probably somewhere in your mind and in your life listening to Satan and not obeying God. Not real complicated, folks. How do I know that? Because I know it's God's desire for us to hear his voice, to know his presence, to be filled with his Holy Spirit, to walk in the presence and power of the Holy Ghost to a lost and dying world. Come on, man. It's almighty quiet out there. See, let me show you something. John 17. I'm going to show you the sum of the whole matter. I hate to say it, but my denominational brethren out there, they don't like you to talk about this. Baptist folk, Methodist folk, especially those Reformed cessationist heathens, hate you to talk about experiencing God.
hearing from God. Right? I'm sorry, but you know what? Those people that are bound up in that religion that says God doesn't talk to people anymore, and God doesn't heal people anymore, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today, I'm holding my tongue. Because there is a level of blindness, there is a level of pride and arrogancy, and just a spirit, a nasty spirit of religion that is either ignorant as the day is long of the scriptures and the entire purpose of God in redemption, or there's an agenda. I mean, when you're that bullheaded against what the scriptures say, and you say you're a Christian, and you're that stubborn and that rebellious and that far off, either you are just totally bound up listening to the serpent, or you have a evil agenda. You have an evil agenda. Can't be anything else. Now, granted, there's some babies out there, I would say some spiritual babies that will just say they're low information. They just don't know that they don't know yet. Right? But there's some people who ought to know. But folks, here it is right here. Let me read this. John 17, verse 1. And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, you know. I mean, in a very simple phrase, you could say that eternal life is knowing God through Jesus Christ. Now, the word know is interesting, because the word know in the Greek here means to have a full discernment of, to have a full revelation of, to know intimately. Not just, I heard about him. See, that's why an atheist can never convince me. Because I don't just know about God. I don't just have a religious creed that I follow. I don't just have a piece of paper. I have an intimate relationship with the Creator who made me, who has revealed himself to me, who has touched me with his presence, touched me with his voice, washed my sins away, forgiven me. I know his mercy and his power and his reality in my life. You can't shake me into Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam or secular humanistic Darwinian philosophy. You're too late. It's like some idiot trying to come up to me and tell me I don't like, you know, a ribeye steak, medium rare. You're too late, Chief. I done had some of them. I have tasted and I have seen that the ribeye is good. I'm sorry that you don't believe in the ribeye. You understand? And the scriptures say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? Back up to John 16. I love what Jesus speaking to his disciples here. And this is elementary, I'm telling you, but I'm going somewhere with this with our church tomorrow. And those, I know there are people listening. But can I say that normal Christianity, normal, look at me, everybody. I know I told you to turn. Normal New Testament Christianity is to repent of sin, want to turn from sin, want to live as holy and obedient a life to Jesus and God and the Scriptures as you possibly can. But after that, it is about walking with Him intimately, going deeper and deeper into the truth of God's Word, into the things that the Holy Spirit wants you to have, letting Him speak to you and show you things to come and show you things to do. That's normal. Anything less than that is so subnormal, it's not even, can't even be defined as Christianity, not New Testament Christianity. I mean, look, we go to the book of Acts, and what do you see happening? All 120 being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What do you see? You see them getting together and praying and the building shaking. What do you see? Them being thrown in prison and angels coming and the chains falling off and the prison doors opening and Peter walks out following angels. Peter walks through the streets as a representative and an ambassador of Jesus Christ, so filled with the Holy Ghost, so anointed by the Holy Ghost, that His shadow is healing the sick. That's New Testament Christianity. And listen, people say, well, that was Peter. Let me tell you, Peter was a man just like me, just like you, just like Kevin, just like us. He was a human being. He was a man. And we know he was flawed, and we know he had issues, and we know he sinned, and he wasn't perfect. But the blood of Jesus washed that away. He obeyed Jesus, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he obeyed and went to Jerusalem and waited for the promise. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and what did he do? He started speaking in other tongues, preaching the gospel, preaching repentance from sin. He's the one that said in the first sermon of the church about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, he said, this promise is to you and to your children and to all those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But then we got idiots in churches that call themselves preachers who get up and say, this is not for today. I'm sorry. Normal Christianity is Peter in prayer at the middle of the day at lunchtime on the rooftop. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes over him and gives him a vision while he's in a trance, gives him a vision. And then once the vision ends, the Holy Spirit says, there's three men coming to seek for you. Go with them. And as soon as he comes out of that experience in that time with the Lord, sure enough, there's three men knocking at the door. That's normal. You say, well, that was Peter. Well, then there was this lowly, low, little servant, believer, not an apostle, not an evangelist, not a pastor, not a deacon, in Acts chapter 9, named Ananias. And he's just a lowly old guy, just a, you know, what we would call probably a lay Christian, whatever that's supposed to mean. But what's he doing? Being a real Christian. And the Holy Spirit comes over him, and God starts talking to him. He says, there's a man named Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. He's seen me in a vision. Go to him. He's in the street called Straight at this person's house. He's been praying. Go lay your hands upon him that he may see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You mean God didn't pick Peter or James or John to go on that little mission? No. Ananias. People say, well, Paul didn't speak in tongues. Wait a minute now. When he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think Paul's the one that said, I think my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you. And Paul said that to a church he was having to correct about speaking in tongues properly in right order in church. But he said, I speak in tongues more than all of it. I love the scripture, the 1 Corinthians, that's in 1 Corinthians 14, if you want to know. But the end of the 1 Corinthians 14 leaves this instruction from the Apostle Paul. He says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Yet we got pastors in entire churches and denominations say, don't speak in tongues. Don't do that. The Bible or the Baptists, the Southern Baptists? That's easy. The Bible or the Reformed theologians, the Frozen Chosen, as they like to call themselves. See, I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it, y'all. If God says you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to speak in other tongues, you need to lay hands on the sick and believe it, that they will be healed, you need to cast out demons, you need to be able to hear my voice and what I'm saying to you and directing you. If that's what the Bible says, and somebody slithers up to you,
no, we don't do that. We don't do that in our church.
And you listen to that snake. Why you're not hearing God's voice or flowing in God's power? Because you've listened to a religious snake. Oh, don't shout me down. Look, I know you guys, some of you got parents that are still in that world. See, this is the sad thing, though. There's a lot of people. I love the way Steve Hill, our late Steve Hill, used to put it. He said, religion, or we'll just say dead religion, dead Christianity is hanging around the cross. True Christianity is getting on the cross. I'm going to take it a step further. Dead Christianity has no intimacy with God, doesn't value hearing God's voice, being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick. That is not valued. It's not even accepted. John 16 says it this way. Verse 13, howbeit, Jesus spoke, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know, the reason, one of the reasons I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about this, about God speaking to us. And let's read one more real quick. John 10, verse 27. Everybody ought to know this one by heart. When Jesus said, John 10, 27, you ought to mark all these down. John 10, 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, before I read, you know, before you read into that, that we believe that means eternal security, let me back up, because it's important here about this aspect, because people say, God used to speak to people that way, but he doesn't anymore. How many ever heard anybody say that says they're a Christian? Almost everybody in here is raising their hand. God doesn't speak to people like that anymore. Really? Well, it's interesting. You know what's interesting here? Here's this verse. My sheep hear. Present tense Greek verb. Oh, boy. Theologians are in trouble. This church ought to know, what's the definition of a present tense Greek verb? Say it loud, man. Amen. Ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. My sheep hear my voice. And when Jesus said this, and this was put down by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit moved upon the Apostle John to write these words in the Greek language, he used a present tense Greek verb, meaning my sheep will continually and in an ongoing manner and in forever presently hear my voice. And they will follow me in an ongoing, continuous, and ever-present manner. You see any end to that? And the sheep who continue to listen to his voice and follow him will have eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will be able by pluck me to pull by force out of God's hand. You see, but this goes along with the passage we read in John 17. Eternal life is knowing God. What is knowing God? Hearing my voice, Jesus, following me. Those who do this continually will have eternal life and they will never perish. This is why this is so important, you guys, because you will either, and I don't care if you're saved, you're a believer, or you're not a believer, you're going to do one of two things. From this point on in your life, you are going to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the written Word, and the Holy Spirit speaking. You will listen to God and follow Him, obey Him, walk with Him, desire intimacy with Him, or you will listen to the voice, the demons, the fallen angels, and the deceived people that He has. You will listen to their voice and follow them and obey them. What voice are you listening to? People say, well, now, we have God's written word, so God doesn't need to speak to us. Really? Can I just say this? You want to know how God speaks to people? Let me give you several ways. Number one, you can write this down. Yes, God has spoken to us through his written word. And that is the first, number one, primary way. Not the only way, but it is the first way that God will speak to us. He will speak to us by what is already written, and also he can cause certain passages to leap off the page and come alive to you as you're reading, praying, meditating on a passage. Okay? A lot of reason, and I'm just going to make this very strongly here, a lot of reasons that a lot of people aren't hearing from God is they're not willing to take time to read the Bible and do what's already written in it. So you really shouldn't expect a whole lot extra, right? So us Pentecostals, you know, we get accused that we don't, you know, we want to depart from the Word of God. That may be crazy charismaniac, but true Pentecostals value the written Word above any experience or any revelation or any prophecy or any manifestation that might happen. The Word of God, the written Word of God, is first. But we don't stop there. Just like I've said many times, there's nowhere written in the Bible that it says, Dean Odell moved to Auburn, Alabama and start a church. And do that, by the way, in 2009. That's not in the Bible. So how do I know to do that if I don't know God and know how to hear God's voice and do what he wants me to do? The second way God speaks, I'll just give you another one. I could give you a bunch. I'll give you a few. Colossians 3:15. I'm just going to quote it to you. You can look at it later. Let the peace of God rule your heart. All right? Now, the Bible is very clear that if we are children of God, then the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What does that mean? Now, wait a minute now. The Holy Spirit is what? Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit, a spirit, the Spirit of God, how does he bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God? It obviously is more than just knowing the Scriptures, because it was the Scriptures that we heard. It was by hearing the Word of God preached that we even knew that we needed to ask Jesus for salvation, that we needed to ask for forgiveness, that we needed to know God through Jesus Christ. We had to hear the Word preached. How will they know unless they hear, right? So how do we know after we've received Jesus, how do we know that we are children of God? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and he bears witness to the Word of God that we've received and that we've heard. Now, how does he do that? I know that the Reformed pros and chosen and some of the Baptist folks and some of the Methodist folks. Now, the Baptists used to believe this, and some of them probably still do. But when you're born again and the Holy Spirit comes to let you know that you are truly born again, you will feel something. He is the dove that represents peace. His symbol, the dove, represents that peace of God. He is the wind. He'll represent that refreshing breeze. He is the fire. And sometimes you'll feel that burning, as they did on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us and opened to us the Scriptures? The Holy Spirit, he's also the river of water that'll bubble up inside of us and flow up and out of us. You get what I'm saying here? He's another symbol. He's an oil, the anointing oil. Hear what I'm saying. True Christianity is built on the foundation of the Word of God, but it is a living, breathing experience that has encounters with the Holy Ghost that you can feel and that you can experience. If you have a Christianity in which you've never felt anything from God and never heard anything from God, you don't have the real thing. Remember back in the garden, I'm going back, what did they have in the garden? They had his voice, they could hear his voice, and they knew his presence. They could feel it. They knew God's voice and presence was in the garden, and they hid themselves. See, and that's just another truth right there. Sin in your life will cause you to run and hide from the voice of God and the presence of God. That's why people don't come to church. They like to go to churches where the serpent is speaking through the pastor, not the Holy Spirit. Because if you have sin in your life and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God is in a place, you will either get it out or you will run and hide. And that's the way church is supposed to be. If you're in sin and you're in church, you should not be comfortable. If you are comfortable while you're in adultery or pornography or homosexuality or unforgiveness or bitterness or hatred or racism or whatever, if you can sit in a church and never be bothered, you're in a dead church. And the serpent is at work. Because once God starts speaking, once the Holy Spirit and the presence of God starts moving and the voice of God is speaking, Mr. Adam or Mr. Eve, you're going to run and hide. Go find somewhere to go in a little dark place and start sowing some fig leaves. You know what those fig leaves are? I think Steve Hill said, that's you trying to figure it out, trying to work it out. Trying to deal with your sin yourself. They're letting God deal with it. Right? But that let the peace of God rule your heart. I love it. You know why? The witness of the Holy Spirit will bring peace. It'll bring the presence of God. Sometimes it can just be like a refreshing wind. Sometimes it can be like a fire. Sometimes it can be just like oil washing over a wound, just a soothing. Sometimes the presence of God can touch you and just tears roll down your face. You just can't control it. That's the presence of God. That's the peace of God. And the Bible says, let the peace of God be the ruler or the umpire. Now, what's an umpire do in baseball? You're safe or out, right? So a lot of times God doesn't have to say words to us. He just lets us know in our heart if something's safe or it's not safe. Right? Okay? Now the third way God speaks is by what Elijah called the still small voice. Yes, God speaks. Imagine that. The Creator can actually talk. My God, I just think of the state in which Christianity is in America and Europe and Australia too, and Africa, South America, Central America, Antarctica, Arctic. This is, we think I'm preaching heresy, right? There's a bunch of Christians that if they were friends with me on Facebook after this sermon would defriend me. Just go! The Creator can't talk to us anymore. When I say the still small voice, I mean God will speak clear sentences to your spirit. You don't hear them with your physical ears, but you do hear them very clearly on the inside. Just as if he was standing there talking. And that is communication, God's spirit to your spirit. And he will say things. Like he told me back in 1989 on the fifth day of a seventh-day fast, he said very clearly, I didn't hear him with my physical ears, but it was as clear as him sitting next to me, he said, read Matthew 20. He'll say things like that too. He'll say things like, tell Patrick this when you get done with praise and worship. God forbid. I remember in Israel one time when I was in Israel, needed a flight home, but we were going to have to fly back standby. So I was in the old city staying at a youth hostel across from the remains of David's Citadel, and we're staying right across the street, and I had to run out. I'd have to run out the gate. It was about a 20-minute run walk into Jerusalem, into the new city part, to the travel agent. And I remember we'd gone to see this travel agent, and we needed a miracle from, really. We needed two tickets from Israel to Atlanta, Georgia. You know, not just a hop, skip, and a jump. But we needed two tickets for under $1,000. Think about that. Travel agent said, well, I'll try to get you on this and on that. And there were limited flights. And there were issues going on. And we were just like wondering, well, are we going to be able to go home? Right. Got up that morning. My brother stayed down here in the room. The two guys that we had we were sharing the room with, one from New Zealand, another one from Australia, they'd already gone home. I went up on the roof to pray. And I just felt uneasy. I didn't have peace in my spirit. I tried to pray, just couldn't pray. So finally I just gave up. You know, sometimes, okay, just give up. I went back downstairs. My brother, he said, man, I tried to pray and I couldn't pray. I said, well, maybe the Lord wants us to pray together. You know, there's power and agreement. And he's good if you agree. So I came and I said, just Lord, show us what your will is. Now here's where we're going to drive Baptist people and the Reformed people crazy. Started praying in tongues, both of us together.
Oh.
Started praying in tongues, and as we prayed in tongues for a few minutes, the Holy Spirit, God spoke to me very clearly, not like you hear me right now, but clear as a bell. He said, go to the travel agent now. I raised my head up. I said, the Lord said, go to the travel agent right now. So we took off. I mean, we ran down the stairs, out the door, down the street, out the gate. Woo! We're booking through the, you know, going around people. We're practically running half the way there. We get there. This is no joke. I open the door to the travel agent. She didn't call us. We didn't have cell phones then. She was going to have to call the hotel. The hotel was going to come up and get us. Long story short, we opened the door. The travel agent that was working on getting us a ticket is on the telephone. She's got a telephone on her ear, the old kind. She has the telephone on her ear, and she says, she looks shocked. Her mouth just hangs open. She said, I have two tickets to Atlanta for $350 each, but you have to get them right now. They will be gone in 2 minutes. I said, they're ours. We get them. We sat down with her. We bought the tickets. We're on the boom. And so this Jewish lady working in this travel agency goes, how did you know to come here at this moment? She said, if you're 5 minutes late, they're gone. I didn't call you. So we told her. Freak her out. She didn't want to think about that. Don't tell me that the Creator can't talk to his children. It's ridiculous. Nowhere in the scriptures either that it said, Dean and Allen, go to the travel agent in Jerusalem right now at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, she had told us, I forgot this part, to call her at 4 p.m. This was 9 o'clock in the morning. This kind of stuff is what we're going to need to be walking more in the days ahead than ever before. Now, how many ways did I give you? Three? Is that three? I'll give you four. God can speak to you in an audible voice if he wants it. Meaning you hear him with your spiritual ears and your physical ears. That is rare. He doesn't usually do that because he usually doesn't need to do that with his children. But if you're being hard-headed and he can't get your attention and you're in big trouble and you really need to know something loudly to you. We're just going to move on past that. Remember, did God do this in the scriptures? Do we have a witness of this? Remember when Jesus was baptized? He said, what is it? A voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, some people thought it thundered. Some people heard what he said. I think God does that anyway. Some people are in tune to hear and some aren't. I know I do it a lot. My wife trying to tell me something, and I don't. She's talking, but I didn't hear what you're saying. And I get in trouble a lot. It's a man thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? Any men's up in here know what I'm talking about? We have PMS. You know men have PMS, right? Permanent man syndrome, what I call it. We have issues. They just can't. You're not going to change them, ladies, but just give up. Yep, I know it. Let me give you a few more. We're going to quit. God can and does speak, as we have many examples, through dreams and visions. What's the difference between a dream and a vision? A dream is a vision while you're asleep. A vision is a vision while you're awake. Simple. Right? Now, when you're awake, there are two different kinds of visions. And I'm going to give you the term that's in the Bible. Open vision. Remember the days of Samuel, it says before Samuel really stepped into his prophetic office, it says there was no open vision. And there were no prophets who saw visions from God with both their physical eyes and their spiritual eyes. An open vision is when God opens a window in the spirit realm or in heaven, or he appears or an angels appear, and he can do that at any point in time. He did it with Daniel. He did it with John in the book of Revelation. God can open the give you an open vision. I've had several of these, not a lot, but I had one wide awake, eyes open. God opens a window in heaven, and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the glory of the Father, and I see the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus like a dove, and God speaks to me about the end time. Okay? That was October 1987. Accompanied by the witness of his Holy Spirit, his presence. Got to do that. But dreams and vision. Closed vision is when maybe you're praying, maybe you're in church worshiping, and all of a sudden you just see like a short movie play out in your mind, or you see a short glimpse of something. The example I've shared when I saw God swat the drone out of the sky. I just had my eyes closed. I'm praying about something totally unrelated. Well, I was just praying about God's protection. And I saw a drone, a predator drone, U.S. predator drone, flying in the sky, heading toward where I live. It looked like a small movie playing out. And I saw the hand of God come out of heaven, this massive hand, swat it down out of the sky like it was a fly. Now, that's not something I made up, because I never thought of God swatting the drone out of the sky with his hand before. Okay? But God spoke to me through that just glimpse of a vision. I've had people come up for prayer. This happened in Georgia. A woman came up for prayer for her voice. She's a singer, friend of my wife, great singer. The devil was trying to rob her voice. She was losing her voice and having all kind of problems with her vocal cords and her throat. Couldn't sing. I mean, bad when a singer can't sing. You know, gifted, very gifted. She walked up for prayer, and I didn't know for sure that that's what she was walking up for prayer for. But as she walked up for prayer, all of a sudden, I see her plainly walking up the aisle. And I see this hand from about here down to here. And I could see through it, but I could see it just as plain day. It was purple. And it came down, and there were veins popping out of it, and it had these long claws, and I saw it wrapped around her throat like this. Clearly demonic. So the Lord was given a revelation and showing through a vision. We won't go, dreams, y'all know about that. But, and I'm going to give you one last one just for today, and we're gonna quit. I'll give you two more. How about that? God can and does, it's biblical, speak through other people, through the gift of prophecy, word of knowledge, meaning God can give somebody else a word for you. about things. I don't know why people find this odd. Christians should not find this odd throughout the Bible. I mean, even you have the prophet Agabus giving a prophetic word to the apostle Paul as if he needed it. Help, hearing from God, the man who wrote half the New Testament. Yet, God was making a point, I believe. You will never be an island yourself. The foot cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. We will always have need of each other, and God can always and will sometimes, to bring humility in our life, use somebody else to speak to us about something. And we got to be able to receive directly from God and also from other people. I know a lot of people out there, oh, well, I can hear from God. I don't need the church. I don't need to be in church. I don't need to have a pastor. I don't need elders. I don't need anybody telling me what the Holy Spirit's saying. I got the Holy Spirit in me. Let me tell you, you're in pride and you're going to be deceived because you're a prideful little island out to yourself. And if you're not humble enough to listen, see, sometimes a little child can speak. I know God's given faith words. She didn't even know that it was God speaking to her to speak to me as a 4-year-old, and I knew it was from God. You got to be humble enough to listen because God will speak through a donkey. If you're not listening, he'll make the donkey talk to you. And then everybody will think you're crazy as a loon, right? So if he's got to make a donkey talk to you, it's probably because you're not listening and being stubborn, right? I know God has sent me to people. I've been the last warning to a lot of people right before judgment has come on their lives or even death. And God's told me at times that if they didn't listen, that would be it. So, I'm going to give you the last one. I love this. I think it is, where is this passage? Babe, you have to look it up for me. About your integrity. Integrity will guide you, but there's two parts to this. She'll look that verse up for me. But sometimes it's your integrity doing the right thing. Proverbs 11:3. Read it loud. Integrity. Sometimes, all the time, it's right to do the right thing. Sometimes you say, I don't know what way to go. I don't know what to do. Well, what's the ethical thing? What's the right thing? What's the godly thing? God's not always going to tell you when you got to make a decision to either do the right thing or the wrong thing. Amen? You know? You find somebody's wallet on the ground with a bunch of money in it, and they're name and address in there. You don't have to hear the voice of God. You don't have to read a Bible scripture. Your integrity should lead you to do the right thing, to know what to do. All right? And this kind of goes along with it. You can make it a last one or another number, but this is true. Sometimes, this is my final thing, I promise. Sometimes your circumstances will lead you. What do I mean by that? Sometimes God doesn't necessarily speak in a situation. He just puts you in a place where there ain't but one way to go. And you know what? You can be thankful for that. Because sometimes if there's 3 or 4 ways to go, it gets difficult. But I've had God do this to me where every other doorway and passageway I had to get a certain thing accomplished, and every single door shut and hemmed me in and hindrances and problems, and there was only one way to go. And I was praying about it, and the Lord wouldn't say a word. And then it was just like I knew, okay, you've shut 15 doors and opened one. That's the way to go. All right? You get what I'm saying? Sometimes your circumstances lead you. You know? Here's a good one. You want to go on vacation. You don't know if you should go on vacation or not. Well, and you look. Oh, well, we don't have enough money to go on vacation. Well, there's your answer. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes your circumstances just say no. This is not the time. This is not the right time. All right? Not complicated. But God wants us to be a people who know Him, who walk in His glory, in His presence, that know His presence, and that listen to His voice, however He speaks. And that is New Testament Christianity, and that is eternal life. And it's just a lifetime of walking that out. And if you say, well, I feel like I'm not as sensitive as I should be. You know what? You can change that. Maybe some repentance of some sin. Maybe you've been neglecting time in prayer. Maybe you haven't been fasting. Maybe you haven't been spending time in the Word. Maybe there's something that's just clearly written in the Word and you just refuse to do it. But walking in the Holy Spirit, hearing God's voice, experiencing God's presence, that should be normal, Christian. And it doesn't matter if you're a young person, a teenager, an adult. Now, I love what Kenneth Hagin used to say about this. You know, Kenneth Hagin was a prophet. Kenneth Hagin knew how to hear from God and walk in visions. God explained it. He had a great understanding and revelation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ministry gifts. But he said there would be times that he would feel like he was getting dry and stale and wasn't as sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he said, no, he wasn't living in sin. He wasn't running after women or, you know, he was serving God with all his heart. And you know what he said? He said, I finally realized, you know what? The reason I'm not as sensitive as I need to be is because I need to fast for 3 days and spend some extra time in prayer. He said, every single time, he said, I'd fast for 3 days and spend extra time in prayer and the Word. Boom, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit come right back. Somebody needed to hear that right there. Sometimes the flesh is too loud. The emotions are too loud, the flesh is loud, and people around you, and everybody's clamoring for your attention, and you're distracted, and you've got all these things going on, and the Lord's like, you want to know why you can't hear? It's too noisy. Your flesh is talking too loud, you're listening to everybody else, you're running after what everybody else wants you to do. I want you to sit here and be with me. I want you to fast for a few days. I want you to sit here. I want you to get in the Bible. I want you to quiet it down so you can hear me again. Hear me. Quiet it down and tune back in. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the truth of your word. We could spend 4 or 5 sermons in this alone, hearing your voice, experiencing your glory and your presence, walking in obedience, being led by your Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, put a hunger in us. Like we were singing that song, Lord, that we long to know you. Let it be real that we long to know you. We long to be intimate with you. We long to hear your voice. We long to be like Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. To have that intimacy, to have that daily communion. To know what you're saying about things in our lives. Father, I ask you to move upon your people. And here, those listening, those who will listen to this message, that real Christianity is alive. It's a walk and a talk with the Creator who made us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we choose to listen to you, to listen to your word, and to not listen to the serpent and his evil followers. In Jesus' name is God. Amen. Well, all right. Did you learn something today? You know, if I hurt your feelings, just know I still love you. I hope you still love me. But see, I feel like the Lord was saying not just that for Patrick in the beginning of this service, but I felt that it's time for us to go deeper in these things. You know, we have as much of God and His Holy Spirit as we want. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? You have not because you ask not. Isn't that what He said? The hungry and the thirsty are filled, right? We're about to go get some real food here in a second, right? But the hungry and the thirsty get you. Are you hungry and thirsty? Do you long for God? See, I'd rather have, and I think we're, I love our church. Because I think that our church has this desire. And we ever move to the next level and get filled and anointed as we can be, we're going to shake this community up. Amen? Because it's the anointing that shakes the community. We need to take up the offering, and we're going to go get to eating here in a second. Patrick, would you pray over the offering and the food? We'll just take care of that now.
First, in the bottom,
John's going to take up the offering real quick while he does that. Any announcements? We need to know y'all having a women's meeting when? A week from tomorrow, 22nd, at our house. Okay. Everybody got that? What time? 6:30 on December 22nd at our house, women's meeting. Prayer Wednesday night, radio Tuesday, keep praying. Just a heads up, just to let you guys know, we are going to do a Bible prophecy conference somewhere this year. Definitely going to do it. I don't know where yet. Well, coming here. See, I'm sorry. I'm already in 2015. I'm sorry. I'm already there. See, I'm you know that dot out on the horizon, babe? That's me. but there was something else that I'm forgetting, but I don't know. All right. Well, Hosen next before you leave. I know some are going to have to go, but some are staying. So hug next before you leave.